Hello and welcome to the Green 19 podcast. I'm Dominique Yates. I'm joined by Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein. So we are back, day one of
training. We have a table.
Yes.
Look at this.
Yes. The new studio. The new studio. So
on the table.
Yeah, you got to own it, right? So I got to say, if you slam things, though, mic falling off and it might flip over or something.
Yeah, it sounds pretty bad on the podcast.
Yeah, but at least we're steps in the right direction, you know. We're better than we were during OTAs.
Day one training camp, we got a table. I would say that's a step in the right direction.
That's it. So, you know, if you saw me walking around your local Target or Walmart looking for tablecloths and tables, because I'm not an organized guy. I'm not a decorator. I'm not what you would call an interior decorator. So just the dude saying, yeah, what's a good table for three dudes to sit around and do a podcast? I asked the local people that.
What'd they say?
They said, first, where are you from with that accent? Number one.
Sure. That goes without saying.
Then the other thing, yeah, check down this aisle. So I'm like, all right.
That is quite an interesting conversation. What's a good table for three dudes?
Yeah.
I never thought of that.
So I was like, it was either person at the local store or ChatGPT. So
hey, ChatGPT could have helped there.
So it was one or two options, but at least we have this table. It works. It hasn't tipped over yet, so I guess I put it together okay. So
for Spoon, are you comfy?
Yeah.
You like the table?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah?
Not bad.
It's good to see
you. Got the Spoon stamp of approval.
Yeah, so it's good to see both of you. Last time we did this, it was virtual. So now we're actually in person. I'm not in your living room. So we can actually get together and pod and just kind of run through this first day of training camp, because I'm sure after the first day you guys, like, you saw everything you need to see now, and you can kind of put a nail in the coffin on how the 2026 season will go. But before we do run through just kind of observations from camp, we can kind of touch on some house cleaning items, if you will, because Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur talked, and obviously we talked with players in the locker room as well. And, you know, some of the big things that kind of stood out to me, starting really with the tight end room, because of right now they're still waiting for Tucker Kraft with not only his injury but his contract extension. And then plus there was some new news with Luke Musgrave. And so, Spoon, I'll just let you start it off. Just, you know, what do you kind of take away from everything that was said as far as with the tight end room and right now just the lack of depth they have?
I think there's some issues there. Luke Musgrave has a neck injury he's been dealing with since the off season, and he reported, and apparently it wasn't any better, which, you know, I asked LaFleur if that was a little bit of a surprise, caught him by surprise, and he said yes, but I would assume they were monitoring him throughout this, but it sounds like they're going to do some extensive tests, and man, anytime you're doing something on the neck, you never know what you're going to find, you know, and they're hoping it's not long-term, but by long-term, whether they mean career-threatening, I don't know. They didn't really say those words, but anytime you are dealing with a neck, that's an issue. So you don't have your top two tight ends. Josh Wiley is your number three, and after that, you got a bunch of guys you haven't played. So it is a little bit of an issue for them, I think.
Yeah. At least from the tight end one, Tucker Kraft, from his conversations and what Brian Gutekunst are saying, you know, what's been the latest on his situation? Again, not only from an injury perspective, but the contract extension.
Yeah, it sure sounds like an extension is getting done in camp with Tucker Kraft. You know, you never know what will happen until these things are across the finish line, but Brian Gutekunst came out and said that there are discussions about extending Tucker Kraft right now. And he said that in a lot of ways, the entire linear progression of this offseason, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Devontae Wyatt, getting all of them done was to clear the plate for that to be the focus in camp, knowing that this would be the time. And that's the one extension that's going to potentially reset the market or be near the top of the market at the tight end position. I'd be very surprised if we're sitting here week one and something's not done. Now, been surprised before, but I would be very surprised. It sure sounds like that's heading that way. And I'd also be surprised if Tucker Kraft, we're sitting here week one and he's not playing. At September 13th, the opener at the Minnesota Vikings will be exactly 10 months after his ACL surgery. He's on the PUP right now. Tucker Kraft said today he'll probably be coming off pretty soon. August 13th is the 9-month mark. He's 8.5 right now. And as Brian Gutekunst said, there's some pretty hard science about that 9-month rule post torn ACL surgery. But once you get there, you can start doing things. He's looked great, according to Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, in his recovery to this point. Everything sure looks like it's kind of the Christian Watson recovery timetable last year, where he came back and he was Christian Watson. A lot to see, but it's a lot of positive signs there. The thing is, one of the things I was thinking going into camp was, could we finally see Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave together? We've never seen it. They drafted those guys consecutive rounds in 2023 with the idea of what they could do together, and since then, we have not seen it. And if we did, that could look pretty good, because I think one of the things that really hurt Luke Musgrave last year, once they lost Tucker Kraft to torn ACL, his play time went up, but he was in that, for a lot of snaps, that classic tight end role where he's playing the Tucker Kraft role, close to the line, not using his downfield ability, and that's not what he does. He is a seam stretcher. As Matt LaFleur said today, he's got elite speed. He's got that thing you can't teach at this level. And so if you could finally see him together, Luke Musgrave really benefit from that. Put him where he's comfortable, where he can use his strengths, and now the neck injury. And now it's going the way it always seems to have gone with these two tight ends, where who knows when we'll see him together.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Here's a reason you might not see Tucker Kraft right away. What if he decides he's not going to practice until he gets a new contract? I mean, you're seeing that right now with Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson. Saw that with Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. You know, he very well could say, you know, well, my knee's still, you know, I'm still rehabbing. I'm not going to practice until I get that contract. I mean, there's a lot of risk he's putting going out there in training camp without having that contract. So, you know, I didn't get a chance to ask him that, but that's the reality of contract negotiations in the NFL. It happens. And so you got two superstar players who are doing that right now.
Yeah.
And Kraft could be the next.
Yeah. Well, so what were some of the takeaways in the conversation with Tucker Kraft in the locker room?
He's a confident man. You know, he thinks he should be the tight end, and that the Packers can win a Super Bowl if he's around. You know, that was it. He's just really believes in himself, and you know, he's got a lot of film to show that.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be kind of interesting.
Yeah. You mentioned Devontae Wyatt, and you were able to talk to him. We both were over there kind of getting some conversations from him. We all did, really. But, you know, what did he kind of say was the reaction to getting the extension? But also, I mean, what does it mean for this Packers group? Because we always say this, but when, like, you get the endorsement from Micah Parsons, it's usually a positive thing. And when those two have been on the field together, it's been a dangerous combination. But just, you know, his takeaways on that extension and what it does for this defense when he's healthy and on the field.
Yeah, it was the reaction that you would expect. He got off the phone with Russ Ball. He called his mom. There was screaming and crying. And he said, "Mom, we made it." Yeah, it was a very special moment. But if you just follow the dominoes, Micah Parsons said last year, Devontae Wyatt is the player that makes his life easier on this defense. And I think we saw that, you know, after that Thanksgiving injury to Devontae Wyatt. Javon Hargrave now is the player that makes Devontae Wyatt's life easier on the inside. They actually have running mates at the interior defensive line position, which they lost in the Micah Parsons trade that sent Kenny Clark to the Dallas Cowboys last year. I think that that's – once everyone's healthy, and it's going to take a while, but once – Parsons is back. If they can keep that group together, that could be a real strength of this team. As Devontae Wyatt said, it's going to be hard to double-team everyone. I mean, there's going to be more single matchups up and down that defensive line. The other part of this, too, Devontae Wyatt said that injury last year on Thanksgiving in Detroit was the low point of his life. He felt at the time, in his words, he felt that he was a top-three defensive tackle in the league. Now,
yeah,
might be a bit high, but he was trending up. He was trending. He was a Pro Bowl talent at the time of that injury. And for 2 years now, we have seen Pro Bowl talent from Devontae Wyatt, Pro Bowl potential, but not Pro Bowl health. And he's very aware, like, The conversation day ended with him saying, just stay healthy. Just stay healthy. That is foremost on his mind. Mm-hmm. I asked, hey, if you stay healthy, what does that look like? He's like, oh, I'd be wicked.
Yeah.
That was his word. It'd be wicked. He feels like he'd be a top defensive tackle in this league with health. I think he's probably right, but we just have to see the health element of that. We haven't seen that in the last 2 years.
Wicked. He's not from Boston, is he?
They put a Boston accent on that. It would have fit right in.
You wicked. What do they call you? Wicked pisser. That's what they say in Boston. Horrible accent, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Oh, I won't even try.
Yeah, but anyway.
I'm leaving that to you.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts, too, just Spoon, with like having Wyatt. And, you know, what did you see from him last year when he was healthy? And when you had that small sample size of Parsons, you know, Wyatt, that group out there. And just thoughts on how they were able to get that extension done.
The part about him that surprised me was that he was a better run player than I expected. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to be pretty much focused on pass rush, but he, with Kenny Clark gone, he had to really play in the middle, play some over the nose. And I think he showed, I think that's why they re-signed him, is because he showed he's versatile, he can play multiple positions. And in Gannon's, I keep wanting to say Rich Gannon.
That's how different guy.
Bad it is. Yeah. Jonathan Gannon's scheme, versatility is huge. Yeah. I mean, we even saw it at practice today. They're jumping around from 4-3 to 4, you know, I mean, from 3-4 to 4-3 and different configurations. And I think that was the reason why they brought him back for sure.
Yeah. That really
and
does.
He's a good player. So.
Yeah, he's a talented player. So, you know, I'm thinking about all these injuries, and I guess I should have had the list with the CVS receipt of a lot of guys that were out. I don't know if you made some notes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, what, Keyshawn Nixon was out, I guess we'll just say maybe hamstring.
But he at least wasn't on PUP, which means he passed his physical, so something must have. He must have just had some tightness or something today.
Yeah, because there was a few guys. We saw Zach Tom in the locker room. He's feeling optimistic about week one.
Aaron Banks was back.
From PUP.
Yeah, they took him off PUP. Nazir Stackhouse they brought back from PUP. So the list of guys, you know, of course, Parsons, Tucker Kraft, Musgrave, Hargrave. Those are probably the guys you're most top guys. And everybody else, you know, it's not kill him. Oh, Orzek is kind of a important guy. They don't have a long snapper.
True.
Sean Ryan.
And yeah, they did use him a little bit, although not in really live action. No, but yeah. I got to think they'll sign someone off the street very soon.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I guess it's only fitting we talk about the kicker competition and just the kicking situation as a whole. It goes from three kickers to two kickers to – hey, once again, they're going to try it. It's the third time the charm with the rookie kicker from Florida. And we'll see. And
is that the definition of insanity?
Well, if you have two kickers, do you have a kicker? Kind of like how you have two quarterbacks, do you have a quarterback?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
No, but they, I mean, you always have two kickers in training camp. They have two kickers when the season starts. They have no kickers.
Yeah. Yes, but. Yes. I mean, it's something interesting. I guess, what were your thoughts on them not having Lucas Haversick? Because here's a guy that's kicked in the league, has the franchise record for the long kick, even though, granted, it was in a dome. But still, having a guy that's kicked in this league that provided success for the Packers in place of Brandon McManus, just, you know, what was your reaction to that?
Well, a little inside baseball for you. We find out about Lenny Craig. Do we know how to pronounce his last name?
Craig? I think it's Krieg.
Krieg. Yesterday morning, when we are all gathered together in the Green Bay Press Gazette newsroom, having a meeting, discussing, you know, plans for season coverage, and it was Pete Doherty, I think, that first saw it, and we were all kind of like going back, okay, what do you mean? Oh, okay, so he's from Berlin, Germany. That could be the international player pathway. And I think we were all kind of thinking that probably would be until they signed the tight end, Yasmin, as their international player pathway, and they replaced Lucas Haversick with Lenny Krieg. And all of a sudden, that gets a little different because you have two kickers. He's going to get an actual look. Since he was drafted, I don't know if Trace Mack is going to be a good kicker in this league or not, But I would be shocked if they didn't give him every opportunity to be.
Well, that's what they're doing by not airing every. They don't even want the threat of competition with Smack. They want him to feel good the entire way, and if he misses field goals or kicks, not to worry that Haversick has just kicked 25 straight ones or something like that. They are all in on this guy.
I didn't think Lucas Haversick was competition to begin with, to be honest with you. They drafted a 6-round kicker. In what world does he not start the season? And what, I mean, you'd have to be so bad, which is not ever been in Trace Mack's pedigree to be this bad, to not be the kicker week one.
Well, yeah, and that's how they're playing it.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying, is we're not even going to bring in a guy who potentially could show something, you know? I mean, I think it's good to have competition, but they're saying no.
I don't look at it as
Max, my kicker, and we're going with it.
I don't look at it as competition. I look at it as a safety net, some insurance, a little security there. I thought Lucas Haversick, much the way that he did with Brandon McManus last year, having him on the practice squad, on the 16-man practice squad, as a little insurance, just made sense to me. Because what do they say, Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst? We know it takes a while for kickers. There's going to have to be some patience. Just to have the insurance, it doesn't mean that you're playing mind games or you're putting something in his head or he's not your kicker, but have the insurance.
If that guy's kicking the heck out of the ball, if Haversick is making every field goal, all of a sudden that's in Smack's head and they just don't want that. They want to bring, it's LaFleur said it, you know, he's going to have some ups and downs and we want him to just work through that. And I think, I don't agree with it, but I think their whole philosophy is let's not put any undue pressure on him in case this guy. I mean, I was here in 97 when the Packers just picked up Ryan Longwell for the heck of it and had him kick with their drafted kicker, who now I can't remember his name.
Brett Conway.
Yeah, Brett Conway. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Conway kind of gets hurt and Longwell makes every single field goal he ever had. And it just crushed Conway, and they went with Longwell. So, yeah, I think they should have two guys, but that's not how they're thinking.
Wouldn't that be the worst thing if Lucas Haversick had become Ryan Longwell? How terrible would that be?
He's going to wind up in someone's camp, and who knows?
Here's my thing. Trace Mack might be a rookie, but he's a big boy. He's a grown man. If he can't handle someone else that knows how to put it between the uprights, and I'm not saying that he can't, he very well could. In fact, I'm on the train Smack wagon. I think it's going to be an adjustment period. He's always been very talented. He's always been number one kicker in his class. He's number one kicker coming out of college. I think he'll be just fine.
Learn from greats as well.
I really do. But if he couldn't handle another guy that can put it through the uprights, he's not going to make it in this league anyway. Like, that's just – if that's the thinking, that seems silly to me.
Yeah, especially I guess it was fascinating too because coaches, like, it's so much of a mental game too. It's not just physical. So I was like, hey, here's some pressure. Here's some simulate. Like, you got to be ready to do your job in camp. You know, yeah, maybe defenders aren't running at you full speed right now, but you got another guy that would love to have that job. I was like,
the other possibility, doesn't it help? Is that Lenny Craig impressed in the workout and they're really interested in him, right?
I mean,
theoretically,
he's never kicked in a
He's never in kicked a, in the league. In NFL, Lucas Haversick hasn't kicked much in an NFL. He's looked
he's
good
been
when
in
he has.
Camps, you know, and he's been around. You know, he's what is he second, third year? You know that he's been bouncing around. He was in the Rams camp. He kicked for the Rams a little bit. Mm-hmm. This guy's been through at least the process.
He's kicked
this
in
guy,
the league.
I don't know. Yeah, is. And Gutekunst made some reference to the potential of putting him on the IPP, which if you do that at the start of the season, you know, after the cutdowns, then he can't play the entire year. He's just on the practice squad. So, I don't know.
You're not eligible for a call-up?
I don't believe so. I think they have to put you through waivers. And then they can call you up? Because none of those IPP guys have ever played for the Packers.
All right.
You know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, if you're going to have an exemption for them on the practice squad, you got to cut them or something like that.
I'm just trying to investigate what else this could be. Because the idea that Trace Mack can't handle another kicker putting the ball through the uprights, that's the definition of soft. And that to me is just so silly that maybe Lenny Krieg blew the doors off his tryout. They feel like he's at least Lucas Haversack. They like the potential in him. And they see the flexibility of the international player pathway.
Yeah. It was just surprising, I guess, because it's one thing to think you know what you have, but you don't know what you have with Trace Mack. Yeah, he was one of the best kickers in college football. What, 90%+, you know, made his kicks, but...
At Florida,
at the Swamp. The Swamp and Lambeau are two different things. Because I even actually I asked him just like when you first got on the field during, you know, OTAs and the camps, you know, what was it like? And he was like, yeah, it was an adjustment. I had to get a feel for the wind and how I need to kick it. And, you know, you're getting a feel for it. It's riding a bike. And that's kind of where he's at right now. The training wheels are still on that bike. And we'll have to see what happens. I mean, even then, it's like, yeah, week one in Minnesota, you're still not going to really know because it's indoors. So it's going to be a process, but I'm wondering how they will. I mean, you have to be patient now, but I'm wondering how patient they'll be able to be like, okay, because everyone's going to be marking, seeing how he's going to kick during practice and out there. But it's going to be something very fascinating.
Spoon, what's your crystal ball tell you right now on what Trace Mack's going to be? I've been pretty vocal. I think, you know, there's an adjustment period. He's going to figure it out. He's always been talented. But I don't know enough.
I haven't seen him kick. I didn't see him kick during off season.
Didn't look great.
I haven't really even seen him attempt a field goal here. So ask me that in about a week or two.
I will.
And I'll have a better answer for you.
There was that very exciting moment in practice today where we all lined up on the sideline because the field goal protection unit was out there. And then, oh, look at that. Trace Mack is lining up. And we all have our notepads out, our pens out. And then there's no field goal post. I'm like, okay. That
was some of you had your notebooks out. I noticed there was no goal posts.
You went in reverse chronological order there.
So I was like, they're not kicking this.
Always check the goal posts.
Yes.
Always.
Oh, well. So I guess I do want to jump into camp a little bit. We haven't really got that much into camp, and obviously, again, they have helmets on, and it's not pads, so we're not going to give, like, this really deep analysis out there, but I am kind of curious about especially some of these rookies, because, you know, you saw Brandon Cisse out there, you saw Chris McClellan out there getting some snaps, and he was rotated in, you watched, you know, offensive line, they were kind of rotating some guys in, just really from top to bottom. You know, I guess for you, were there any... Go ahead. Were there some rookies?
Well, that's all I look at is where guys are lining up.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more to glean out of these 4 days.
Not in helmets, no.
Other than where are they lining up and how are they being used. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there were a couple interesting things. I mean, I don't think anything was earth-shattering, right. But you're right. McClellan was lining up with the ones in the middle. With Hargrave out, okay, so that's
and
a
Wyatt.
Caveat there, and Wyatt got.
Yeah,
right. But that's what they did in the spring, too. He's been getting those because they haven't been on the field for team reps.
Right.
So that's a continuation of the spring.
Too. Yeah, so they're obviously getting him ready.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't really that anything surprising on the offensive line that I could see.
Jacob Monk, left guard?
Jacob Love, but is he going to stay there? Is that because Banks is... You know, just not getting a lot of reps. And because Jaeger Burton walked off with... So that's another thing that happened. It looked like he got hit in the head or he was kind of holding his helmet.
When did that happen? I missed
very, very early. And it may have actually happened in the Hudson Center, you know, when they do the offense before everybody comes out.
That would explain Monk then.
Yeah, because I don't think I saw Burton practicing at all. I don't recall. I didn't write him down. No. But Monk was at left guard. But he's a guard center, you know. So that's not surprising. Glover was at right tackle behind Zach Tom. That was I didn't know if they were going to line him up at guard or tackle, but he was a number two tackle. Other than that, you know, I mean, there was nothing really I thought that was... You know, struck me. Yeah. What I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Nothing earth-shattering. And that's the other thing. Yeah, you got some rookies that you won't really know anything about for a while. And the vets, like, you know what you get from the Christian Watsons of the world, the Jaden Reed. So I know there's not much that you really can say break down. But I am curious, as far as rookies, I mean, yeah, we talked Trey Smack. Especially when you start to get those pads on, you get in the preseason, you get into week one. Who are some of the rookies that you're kind of curious about that you'll really be watching over the next few weeks?
It'll be interesting how Brandon Cisse stands up to the physicality. That's supposed to be a strength of his game, but yeah. Now he's in the NFL. So once he gets the pads on,
yeah. What
will that look like in terms of his press technique and all that stuff? The one-on-ones will be very interesting. As I tweeted today, it can only help Chris McClellan that he's only gotten first-team reps since the start of spring because of the defensive tackle guys out in front of him. That doesn't mean that he's a starting defensive tackle right now. But that's, one, there's got to be some trust in him that he can actually handle and not wreck a team period. So playing with your, repping with your starting defensive line, starting defense. But two, that's good for development. You know, if he can get those reps, those are very meaningful. Honestly, the rookies are not what stood out to me today. What stood out to me today, if they can just keep Marshawn Lloyd healthy, mm-hmm. His speed. I understand.
Everybody held their breaths when he slipped.
He did, yes.
Well, there were two moments.
Yeah, and then the one when he came right
at us. The drain is like a little drainage. He stepped over it, and he just said, "Whoa!"
Everybody was like, "What?"
It's like you hate to laugh, but also like this is incredible to me.
That's how it's gonna be with him the time.
It's like a tragic comedy of like, okay, of all the guys to step on the drain.
Yeah.
Of all the guys, mm-hmm. It has to be him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else is like, oh, he's fine. With him, like when he slipped after catching that screen untouched, the entire sideline gasped.
Yeah.
You could hear it, including me. I'm like, oh, oh goodness. He pops right up. He goes right back to the backfield. He takes the third down rep. Like he's fine.
Yeah.
But it should be said, and for good reason, the injuries are going to be the all-encompassing thought when you think of Marshawn Lloyd. But he is talented. Like that bounce-out rep that he had where he won the race to the pylon,
mm-hmm.
That you see why if they can just keep him healthy, he has the type of change-up speed that would pair very nicely with Josh Jacobs. If he can just keep healthy.
I don't think we should even talk about it.
The talent is there.
It's just like a waste of time.
One thing if the talent wasn't there.
Let's talk to him. Let's talk about him on August, 29th or something
Everyone's going to be looking at 32 on the practice field every day of camp. Yeah. One, to make sure he's there. But two, what's he got? Because we don't know. It's intriguing.
I'm not writing a word about him until the regular season starts and he's on the 53-man roster.
It'd be one thing if he wasn't talented. He's at least talented. The other play involving Marshawn Lloyd today, though, too, it's nice that, you know, the one starter on defense that had a takeaway today was Zaire Franklin. Not a bad start for him. That was an impressive rep, and, you know, they scoop it. I don't know. It was bang-bang. Video replay might have said that it was an incomplete pass. I don't know if he fully got the reception down, but Zaire Franklin sure thought so, and afterwards in the locker room, he's like, it's all about the ball. And I'm thinking, okay, that's what the defense said last year. They had the ball king. Can they actually take the ball away more?
Yeah.
That's going to be a big question for this defense.
The guy who ran the ball king is gone.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
That is the other thing. It's going to be intriguing to watch because, I guess, just the defense as a whole because, you know, 2024, with the first of Jeff Hafley, they were thriving on takeaways but had zero pass rush. Last year, especially when they were healthy with Parsons, you had pass rush, but you weren't taking the ball away. This year, who knows, right? So the defense as a whole, it's going to be very intriguing just to see how they'll move pieces around and will they just be a solid defense? Like, will they be able to rely on and depend on? So, yeah, I'm really curious about that. I don't think I was able to ask you, Spoon. Are there any rookies over the next couple of weeks that you'll be just kind of interested in seeing out there?
Yeah, I mean, there will always be someone that will kind of draw your attention. I mean, Cisse is definitely a guy I'll be keeping my eyes on, you know, pretty consistently. You know, McClellan, we'll find out about him when, you know, they get some pads on, but he's an impressive-looking guy. I mean, he's a big man. Other than that, no, because, you know, I don't think there's a lot of room for rookies to have an impact this year.
Yeah.
I think they have developed a roster that's pretty full of second, third-year guys and then veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you're looking at, you know, outside linebacker, you know, guy like Baron Sorrell, he's coming around now. They're using him as an outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. Even Bretton Cox, you forget about him. Oh, yeah, there's Colin Oliver, you know. And defensive line, same thing. So I don't know. There's not a lot of opportunities for rookies to do anything. Cisse's the guy, really. Yeah, the other guy everybody's going to be looking at. And Smack.
Yeah.
The other guy to add would be Denai Dennis Sutton, because all those guys that you just mentioned on the edge rush are all guys that are capable of contributing, not carrying the water, but contributing and pitching in until Micah Parsons gets back. But there is plenty of room for anyone to raise their hand and say, hey, I'll help too at that position.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'm expecting a rookie, a fourth-round rookie, to do that. Any fourth-round rookie at that position to do that. But Denai Dennis Sutton had a very productive college career, was well thought of coming out of the draft. Not well thought of enough to be a top two-day pick, but still well thought of. I'll be interested to see if he can put anything together, because if he can, there is space there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially because, I mean, they keep trying with Lucas Van Ness. But at some point, like you mentioned, you're going to have to see it on the field, and he's going to have to produce at a high level. It can't just be a couple of games here and there, and then injury or just disappearing off the field. So he's going to be one of those guys that if he can kind of really lead the way and carry the load for the edge rushers before Micah, it'll at least make life easier for him.
Yeah, he just has to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I think he was coming on late last year, and, you know, another setback injury thing would be devastating for him.
Is there a more critical unknown on this entire roster right now than Lucas Van Ness? Like, it's him, and to me, it's probably Jordan Morgan. And to see those guys,
especially Morgan,
go back and forth, or both of them,
yeah,
to see them go back and forth as they will in battling camp, that will be the battle of training camp, I think, is Lucas Van Ness and Jordan Morgan.
You saw it last year, too, during the preseason when during training camp, that was the matchup between Van Ness and Morgan. And obviously, they didn't have pads on, but Van Ness was winning. He was winning. He won a lot of those battles, and you saw it even today during team.
Saw it in spring.
Yeah, you saw it in spring. So, yeah, it's going to be intriguing to see what that looks like. But, yeah, Jordan Morgan, I mean, we're not going to know anything now, like we keep saying, because there's no pads on. But, man, there's a lot kind of riding on how he plays and performs. So, again, it's not going to be up to rookies. It's going to have to be up to guys that have been on this team for a while, and especially offensive line, which was interesting because Zach Tom and some of these guys were saying it really feels like one of the first, like the first time in a while where everyone is in the spot that they are comfortable in. But you still got to do it on the field, so that's going to be the million-dollar question. So, as we wrap it up, any final things that, you know, you want to touch on or say before we shut this podcast down from day one of camp?
I don't have anything really. No, I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, so did you have your sunscreen on?
I did, so yes.
Did you survive that? Oh, you survived the track?
You're trying to set me up, though.
You look pretty red.
You're trying to set me up.
Yeah.
I need to apologize to my wife.
Yeah.
So last night, Dom and I, this is not the reason I'm apologizing, we rang in the season by catching a 10 p.m. viewing of The Odyssey.
Incredible, by the way. Incredible.
It was first time
really?
For
we
Dom.
Need to discuss that.
You didn't like it?
I didn't think it was incredible.
I thought it was
really?
Very good.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, do share.
No,
that's for another podcast.
I'm about to say, everybody, let's just go to break. Let's just turn this show up.
No. you know, it's a late night, and I wake up this morning. The first thing I see out of my bleary eyes is my wife holding a bottle of suntan lotion. And she was very insistent. So I'm getting getting ready to go. It's a little earlier today. Brian Gutekunst spoke more than an hour before practice began. So we're getting ready, and I take it with me. And I planned to put the suntan lotion on before I go to the practice field. It's still in my car. It never made it on. And so
hopefully it didn't explode because of the heat.
My lovely dear wife did everything in her power. Other than putting it on herself, she did everything in her power to get me to wear sunscreen, and I still somehow failed. I had one job, and I failed. So, it's a long way. I'm not midseason form yet. It's just day one of camp. Day two of camp, it's going to be a scorcher tomorrow, too. I'll make sure I have some sunscreen on.
Yeah, I'm just shocked that you didn't, listen to somebody.
You know who's not shocked is my wife. My wife is not shocked at all.
But that's good. But hey, just get better tomorrow, right? That's
1% better each day. My 1% tomorrow is wearing sunscreen.
Just get better. So you had a fumble, you had a turnover today, but there's always tomorrow to bounce back and get it right. So, but hey, we got through the day one of training camp, and we have this podcast here on our nice, fancy new studio, which is just a table. But hey, it's our studio, and we embrace it. So we thank you all for checking out this Green 19 podcast. Look, he's going to slam the table. Yeah. Thank you all for checking out this podcast. Again, hey, we're in training camp, so we'll be checking in, regularly throughout the next couple of weeks and obviously into the season as we're talking all things Packers. So we do appreciate it. For Ryan Wood, Tom Silverstein, I'm Dominique Yates. We'll